Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Psalms, please. Psalms chapter 119 for the reading of the Word of God. I do appreciate each one of you being here today. And I want to look at a passage of Scripture, a portion of Scripture, beginning with verse number 97 this morning. I don't want to just say this for the sake of repetition, but I know that each and every service there may be someone that, or more than one, that have not heard any of the previous messages. And Psalm 119 is a psalm where we learned last weekend that either directly or indirectly, every verse mentions the Word of God. All but six verses mention the Word of God directly, and then the other six mention the Word of God indirectly. We're looking today at a portion of Scripture that begins with the letter M, M-E-M. How many of you, I'm curious, have a Bible that lets you know that? You see M-E-M before verse 97. How many of you see that? Okay. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and we're on the 13th letter. How many of you have already recognized that we're not going in chronological order? There's a reason for that. I try to read the Bible. Let the Holy Spirit of God lead me. And when He warms my heart in a spot, I just park around that spot for a little while. See if He won't build a fire around it. Amen. And if God don't build the fire, I'm going to move on. But if He builds a fire, right there's where I want to stay for a little while. And so I'd like to address, sooner or later, every section of Psalm 119. But Mem is the 13th letter. And it is symbolic of water, and it's symbolic of a fountain of divine wisdom. And that exactly is what we're looking at here in verse 97 through verse 104. Let's read it together. Oh, how love I. Many times I've quoted that verse, oh, how I love thy law. But it says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. For they are ever before me. I used to say a lot when I was preaching in prison. I don't know why they named it Bud Wiser. When it never made anyone wiser, it just made them dumber. I don't know why they call Miller the high life, when anybody that's ever had any association with it knows it's the low life. And the psalmist is saying, the Word of God has made me wiser than my enemies. He said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Let me say this to the young people. I didn't plan on saying either one of these things. But you're going to go to college and you're going to be sometimes impressed with the knowledge that somebody's got. And I'm going to tell you what, if they don't know God, you do know God. You've got more understanding than what they've got. And don't let that knowledge cheat you out of your understanding of the fact that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There are some things in the Word of God that God says is right, and there are some things in the Word of God that God says wrong. He said, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Look at this statement now. Therefore, I hate every false way. Did you know we're living in a generation when a preacher can get in the pulpit and preach against sin? That's not popular anymore. He can get in the pulpit and preach against Catholicism, Hinduism, Islamism, and every other ism under the sun. And he'll be criticized for that. I'm going to tell you why there are some preachers that are still preaching against things that are wrong and isms that are wrong. Here's the reason. They love this book. When you love this book, you hate everything that's contrary to this book. Whether it's in your life or somebody else's life, you hate it, you despise it, because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Let's pray and we'll try to get right into the message. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to read the Bible today. I pray, Lord, today that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, if a congregation this size in this place called Bloomingdale, from the pulpit to the pew, would just fall in love with the Word of God, God, what a difference we could make in our generation. What a difference it would make in our marriages. What a difference it would make in our homes. What a difference it would make in our church. What a difference it would make in our young people, in our schools, if we would just fall in love with the Word of God. God, help me today. You know I want to be a help. And I pray you'll help me in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I want to preach this morning for a little while on some advantages to loving God's law. Some advantages to loving God's law. This is that little section of 8 verses. There are 22 sections that begin with the first letter of each letter of the Hebrew alphabet that make up, I think, is it 172 verses? I don't have that in front of me, but turn over there. I believe that might be correct. No, 176. 176 verses make up Psalm 119. Some advantages to loving God's law. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather be at an advantage in life or a disadvantage? An advantage. Let me say this. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more we need to be living at an advantage in this world that we live in. Some advantages to loving God's law. I've got four things today that I want to bring out in this text. The first, I just called it the test factor. There's a little test that we need to look at. The Word of God said here, "Oh, how love I thy law." And then there's an exclamation point. You know what I believe? I believe that in many of God's people's lives this morning, there's not an exclamation point right there. There's a question mark. How do we love the Word of God? How do we love God's law? Let me give you something this morning that I think will help you. Look at verse 102. He said, "I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me." What does it take to get you to depart from the Word of God? How do we love His law? It's a test. How do we love it? I was thinking this morning, and I'm not trying to be mean, and I don't know who and who hasn't or if anybody has. But about a year ago, I guess, maybe 8 or 9 months, I challenged our teenagers to download a Bible program on that phone because I know they spend much time on their phone. You say, are you downing them? No, sir, I spend much time on my phone. Amen? And I just wonder this morning how many we could go through the teens. How many of
got a program where they could look up a verse, or if they were meditating on the Word of God, God reminded them of something. He said, "Preacher, why would we do something like it? Because we love it. Because we love the Word of God." He said, "Preacher, why wouldn't we do something like that?" I tell you why. Because we love something else more than we love the Word of God. This morning, the psalmist David said, "How love I thy law?" Is it a question mark or an exclamation point in our life? I want to read something to you, and I pray God will speak to our hearts right here. I believe I could read this and give the invitation and be done today. I mean it. I want you to listen to this. A man in Kansas City was severely injured in an explosion. Evangelist Robert L. Sumner tells about him in his book, The Wonders of the Word of God. The victim's face was badly disfigured, and he lost his eyesight as well as both hands. He was just a new Christian, and one of his greatest disappointments was that he could no longer read the Bible. Then he heard about a lady in England who read Braille with her lips. Hoping to do the same, he sent for some books of the Bible in Braille. Much to his dismay, however, he discovered that the nerve endings in his lips had been destroyed by the explosion. One day, as he brought one of the Braille pages to his lips, his tongue happened to touch a few of the raised characters, and he could feel them. Like a flash, he thought, "I can read the Bible using my tongue." At the time Robert Sumner wrote his book, the man had read through the Bible, the entire Bible, 4 times. We have eyes. We're living in a generation that people complain because they have to wear glasses. Am I right or am I wrong? We have eyes to read. We have ears to hear. How do we love the Word of God this morning? It's a test. Is there anybody here that would set out to read the Word of God with their tongue? If they couldn't read it with their eyes? If they couldn't read it with their fingers? That challenges me this morning. I don't know about you. That challenges me. There's some advantages to loving the Word of God. The first thing we see is the test factor. It's a test. Is it a question mark when we say we love the Word of God, or is it an exclamation point? And there's the time factor. Look in verse number 99 here. The Word of God said, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." How much does he meditate in verse number 97? "It is my meditation all the day." You know what it takes to love the Word of God? The same thing it takes to love your wife. The same thing it takes to love your children. It takes time. If we don't have time for the Word of God, if we don't have time for our wives, if we don't have time for our children, by the way, let me just say this free of charge right here. A lot of parents are thinking that they can buy their children's love. They don't need your money. They need your time. They need somebody to spend some time with them. I believe with all of my heart, right there's where the Word of God gets boxed out in many lives. I don't have time. One person, man, was preaching on tithe, and Brother Randy, and somebody said to the preacher, "Preacher, I can't afford to tithe." The preacher looked back at him and said, "I can't afford not to." Let me tell you something this morning. We cannot afford to let anything come between us and this book. We need the Bible. We need to be able to say with an exclamation point, "Oh, how love I thy law, the word of the living God." There's a time factor. Number 3, I'm getting to number 4. You say, you're going fast this morning. Wait till I get to number four. We'll slow down. Number three, not only is there a test factor in these verses, a time factor involved in these verses, but there's a triumph factor. How many of you all like to win? I mean, you get around me pitching horseshoes and you'll find out if I like to win or not. I'm liable to tie your shoelaces together, amen, if it'll help me win. My wife says every once in a while, he doesn't have a competitive bone in his body. Somebody will look at him like, really? She'd say, no, all of them are. It's not just one bone, all of them are. Now, I can lose, and I can lose graciously. But if I'm going to play, I'm not playing to lose. When I got saved, I didn't get saved to lose. Brother Rose, I spent 27 years losing. That's all I was a loser. I got saved to win. I didn't get saved so I could be on the losing side. Thank God I didn't understand it at the time, but when I got saved, I got on the winning side. Love the song, I'm a winner either way. If I go or if I stay. What do you mean, preacher, the triumph factor? Watch what he said here. He said in verse 98, thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Let me tell you something right now. You might take a break, but the enemy don't take a break. The enemy is not omnipresent, but the enemy is present. Somebody say amen right there. You say, preacher, what do you mean in the triumph? I'm talking about winning over the enemy. What do we need? We need understanding. Look at verse number 99. I have more understanding. Look at verse 100. I understand. Look at verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. You say, preacher, what do we understand if we're going to win? Three things quickly. Number one, we understand the foe. The enemy is always present. He walketh about as a roaring lion. Brother John stood in this pulpit this morning in Sunday school and shared a little bit about his burden for his grandchildren. You say, preacher, why is he burdened for his grandchildren? I tell you one reason he's burdened, because he knows there's an enemy that would love to suck them up, that would love to devour them, would love to destroy them, would love to steal everything they have from them. Understand. We need to understand the foe. He said, preacher, why do people go the wrong way and do the wrong thing? Why do people end up in a place called hell? Because they don't understand. They don't understand. They don't understand the enemy. You say, well, he doesn't play fair. That's true. He doesn't have to. We need to understand the enemy. He's present. We need to understand the foe, but we need to understand the feet. Look at verse 101. He said, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Let me tell you something that's impossible. Everybody look at me. Look at me right quick. You see my feet? See my feet? You see this book? When these feet are in an evil way, it is an impossibility to be in this book in God's way. You have to make a choice. Either you got to refrain your feet from the evil way that you might enjoy the blessings of the Word of God. One preacher said it like this: sin will keep you from the Word of God, or the Word of God will keep you from sin. Can't be both ways. He said, I have refrained my feet. I used to say this a lot in prison, and it's still true. The crowd that you run with, your feet, the crowd, will determine the course that your life takes. Amen. I'm 56 years old. There's a crowd out there that would love for me to join them. You listen to me, and you listen to me well this morning. I'm talking about people that spent their life in the house of God, wake up one morning, and their marriage is shot. Say, preacher, where do you run into crowds like that? Let me tell you where you run. Everywhere in the world. You go down there at the job, and you got a little problem at home. And all of a sudden, there's somebody that's just so understanding. Help me this morning. He said, preacher, what happened? I tell you what happened. Somebody fell out of love with the Word of God. The Word of God had the answer. And if you ask enough people in this world, somebody will tell you what you want to hear. But this book will never tell us what we want to hear. It will tell us what we need to hear. That's what this book will do. If we're going to understand the foe, we're going to understand, have to understand the foe to win. We're going to have to understand the feet. Make sure that our feet carry us to the right places. And then in verse number 104, number 3, we need to understand the false way. The Bible said, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. There's false ways in religion. I was listening to the radio last week, and I was really blessed. I was blessed. I was blessed by this man's morality. I don't even know if he's a spiritual man. There was no testimony given on the radio. But what happened? Over in eastern Kentucky, the coal industry, Mr. Obama might have lied about a lot of things, but one thing he didn't lie about, he hates coal. He hates it. And he's done everything in his power to destroy that industry. I was listening to the radio last week, and a young man came on, 29 years old, Brother Dusty, and he had 3 children. And he said, the coal industry's gone. He said, I had 2 new vehicles. I had a new motorcycle. I had a new boat. And he said, when the industry went under, I was making $30 an hour. He said, when it went under, I started selling things. He said, because I had to feed my children. They were my children, and I wanted to take care of my children. And he sold this, and he sold that, and he ran out of things to sell. And he moved to East Rogersville, Tennessee. And he got him a job making $9 and something an hour. And what blessed my heart was this. The radio man asked him, said, what are other people doing? He said, well, some of them are selling drugs. You say, what happened? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. That man decided he wasn't going to go the false way. He was going to go the right way. I'll say this, and you've heard this before, but there are people in the world with more morals than a lot of people in the church. He's worked his way up to $15 and some change an hour. And the boss, he talked about his boss always building him up and saying, hey, you always do more than I ever ask you to do. He talked about people from Mexico and people from Central America working, many of them illegal in the plant where he works. He said, because Americans will come in and work one day and miss one day and work one day, work one week, get a paycheck and never come back. You say, preacher, what is that? I'll tell you what it is. It's a false way. You can get into false ways in religion. You can get into false ways in our society. You say, preacher, I just don't believe you ought to hate anything. Well, if you love the Word of God, you will. You'll hate sin. You'll hate what liquor and drugs and premarital and extramarital affairs are doing to people in their homes. There's something wrong in a society when the government rewards unrighteousness instead of righteousness. There's something wrong in that society. The psalmist, he said, "I love you. How love I thy law. I love this book." And I'm going to tell you something. When you love this book, he said, "Preacher, what if there's a false way in your life? You'll hate it too. Somebody help me." I feel sorry for people that look in the mirror and like everything they see. If you'll get in this book and love this book, you'll look in the mirror and see some things you don't want to see. Help me. Well, let's get to the fourth thing. Y'all too? I could uncouple and couple back up tonight. I don't feel like it. I feel like God wants me just to plow a little bit this morning. We need to love the Word of God. There's the test factor. There's the time factor. There's the triumph factor. Let me give you this last one this morning. Don't get all excited. But it is the last one. I want to give you this, the taste factor. The taste factor. Say, "Preacher, where'd you get that?" Look at verse 103. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste." I'm not trying to be smart this morning. But Brother Joe, you want to know why that man read the Bible four times with his tongue? Because it was sweet. Brother Ralph, I believe it was sweeter the last time than it was the first time. It was sweet. It was sweet to his taste. Let me say some things this morning about this taste factor. Honey is a natural sweetener. I'm going to key in on this honey for just a little bit. Psalm 19:7 said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Now watch. "More to be desired are they than gold." You say, "Preacher, what's happened to our country?" I'll tell you, we've desired gold more than we've desired the Word of God. We want gold instead of God. That's what's wrong in our country. That's what's made so many men that were straight in the beginning crooked along the way. They lost their appetite for the Word of God. They got an appetite for influence, the power. Let me just say this right quick. I feel a need to say this. I thank God for our deacons. We don't have a deacon in this church that's about power or about influence or about having their way. We've got some deacons that are servants of the Most High God and love the church and love the Lord and love the pastor and love the Word of God and understand, listen, this responsibility that we have, we're going to answer to Him one day after a while. Even in the church, in many places, people get sideways and sidetracked. I'm talking about pastors too, deacons too. I'm talking about people that raise up. Let me tell you something right now. How honored we ought to be this morning just to be a servant of the Most High God. More to be desired are they than gold. I will guarantee you that in Kingsport, Tennessee, there are people that are genuinely born again that spend more time looking at their stocks and their 401k than they do looking at the Word of God. You say, preacher, I wouldn't have said that. Well, I did. And I ain't taking it back. When are we going to have revival? I'll tell you when. When the stock market's not near as important to us as God's word is. When gold is not near as important as God. That's when we'll have revival. The taste factor. Let's go on real quickly. I read this. And listen to me. I'm trying to fit some things together. And if you don't stay with me, you're going to be lost in just a minute. I'm going to make some applications. The Bible said it was sweeter than honey. Sweeter than the honeycomb. Honey, as it is found in the hive, is truly remarkable. It's elaborated by the bees with the floral nectar. And less often with honeydew. Nectar is a thin, and now listen to me carefully right here, easily spoiled substance. Now God spoke to my heart when I read that. Brother David, let me tell you what's going on lots of times. God's people, they get a hankering for that nectar. But it gets spoiled before it turns into honey. You say, preacher, what spoils it? Fill in the blank right there, blessed Holy Spirit. Amen. Say amen. He can fill in that blank for you. It might be a television program. It might be something on the internet. It might be something going on in your relationship or your family. It might be something you're harboring down in your heart. But I'll tell you this, when we get a hankering for the nectar of God's word, the enemy wants to spoil it before it turns into honey. He wants to spoil it before it turns into honey. I heard my pastor tell about a man called Uncle Bud. Uncle Buddy. We go to the doctor. And the doctor, regardless what the doctor had to say, he was always shouting. He spoke with a lisp. And the doctor told him one day, he said, listen, Bud. Don't start that shouting. I got something I got to tell you, but please don't start that shouting. I think it embarrassed the doctor. And he told Uncle Buddy that he had sugar. And he let out a big war hoot and said, "Wow!" He said, "Pray God, pray God." He was saying, "Praise God, praise God." He said, "I know it ain't getting gooder and gooder and tweeter and tweeter, but I didn't have no idea turning to sugar." The word of God ought to be that sweet to our taste. That every once in a while, Brother Rose, it just turns to sugar. It turns to honey. As I was prepared to preach, Brother Ralph, I thought about old Brother Rightly Sallied. Hallelujah. He dripped, didn't he, brother? The honey was dripping off of him, Brother John, because he loved the word of God. He loved it. Love the word of God. Oh, bless the Lord. Y'all want a little more? The taste factor. Let me give you some things. That sweet liquid, that nectar, it's easily spoiled, but it's ripened by the honeybee to a stable, high density, high energy food. Let me just say this to you. I don't know a whole lot about typology, but I'm just telling you how the blessed Lord spoke to my heart when I looked at this. I believe, Brother Steve, only the Holy Spirit can take the nectar and make honey out of it. Brother John was talking about, I think the way you said it, Brother John, was I heard the gospel many times. But Brother John said, one day I heard the gospel. He said, what made the difference? I'll tell you what made the difference. The blessed Holy Ghost took the same words and made honey out of them. Amen. Let me make application here just a little bit. Honey is good medical and medicinal properties. It's good for you. Let me give you a few verses and I'll be done. Number one, honey will cause us to live in Canaan land. I never had made this application before. You see if you think I'm right. The Bible said in Leviticus 20:24, "But I have said unto you, you shall inherit the land. I will give it unto you to possess it. A land that floweth with milk." As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. I've never made this application before, but this is not typology of heaven. This is typology of the victorious Christian life. There's got to be a land that flows with milk and honey. You're not going to live in victory if the Kingsport Times News is all you read. Isn't that something? Years ago, I can remember, I didn't read the thing because I didn't like to read anyway, and still don't. I make myself read. It's not a favorite pastime of mine, I can tell you that. But there was a magazine, the title of it was True Story. How many's with me? There wasn't any truth in it anywhere. You get on that television and you see programs like The Days of Our Lives, As the Stomach Churns, The Edge of Knife. How many's with me? There's no truth in any of it. I can remember one preacher saying, "Boy, I used to preach against them soap operas till I fell in love with Dallas." And he realized all that was a nighttime soap opera. By the way, it's not soap, it's slop. It ought to be called a slop opera. Sheep don't like slop. They like green pasture. Hogs like slop. God give us an appetite where the word of God is sweet. "I've said unto you, you shall inherit the land. I'll give it to you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people." You say, "Preacher, what separates God's people from the world?" Brother Johnny and Sister Charlotte, there's some things you can watch and some things you can't watch. Are there? Are there some things you can listen to and some things you can't listen to? Are there some places you can go and some places you can't go? Well, what separates us from the rest of the people in the world? I tell you what separates this book. And an allegiance to the God of this book. Milk and honey. The book of Exodus, the Bible said the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. It was like a coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. See, it's the Word of God that saves us, but this is the Word of God sustaining us. Are you listening? The Word of God will sustain us. Honey will help us to make the right choices. Look at verse 101 and 104. "I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Listen to this verse of scripture and I'll move on. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." This is Isaiah 7:14. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel." How many knows who that's talking about? Listen to the next verse. "Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to choose, to refuse the evil and choose the good." Talking about the Son of God. You say, "Preacher, how in the world will we ever make right choices? This book's got to be the honey, amen. It's got to be sweeter than what the devil has to offer. Got to be sweeter than what the flesh has to offer. Got to be sweeter than what the world has to offer. This honey will help us to prosper in our relationships. Sometimes it's a little awkward to read in the Song of Solomon. Is anybody with me? Out loud, especially in mixed company. But let me read a verse to make my point. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 11, he said, "Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. What is Solomon saying? I'll tell you what he's saying. I'm satisfied right here. We know later he got in trouble. Say amen. You say, preacher, how come him to get in trouble? He lost his desire for the Word of God. And many women, what was it, 300 wives and 700 concubines, or vice versa, one way or the other, 700 wives and 300 concubines? One little boy thought he was talking about porcupines. Sometimes you get stuck in a relationship. That's true. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know what to do. Well, let me tell you something right now. There's not one marriage that God couldn't save if two people put their nose in the Word of God and their heart in the Word of God and turned to the God of heaven for their help. There's not one conflict going on between children and a mom and a dad that God couldn't help if all parties involved would develop a hunger for righteousness and taste the sweetness of the Word of God. Then this honey will help us to proclaim the good news. Talked about John the Baptist, his meat was locust and wild honey. Listen to what the Word of God said about John as he came. Thou shalt have joy and gladness. Many shall rejoice at his birth. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I believe when the Word of God becomes like honey, the Spirit of God is going to fill that vessel, and we're going to be able to speak the Word of God to others around us and be a help to them. Let me just say this. I looked at this verse this morning and at first just went on by. It didn't seem to fit, Brother Rose. Something I've learned about the Bible, we don't get to pick and choose what fits. Well, I'll just look at it carefully and prayerfully. I read this verse this morning and it didn't seem to fit when you're thinking about honey. Listen to what the Bible said. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. You say, I don't see how in this world that could even find a place in this message. Let me tell you how it finds a place. Up till now, you might think that I said in this whole sermon, go home and don't you turn that television on and don't you watch a ball game, or don't watch them bowl, Brother James. Amen. Me and Brother James like to watch them bowl, don't we, Brother? Them old professionals. It might be boring to some people, but anybody that's ever picked that game up, it's not boring to them. Here's what I'm getting at. You remember the other day when I was talking about that food and the cheesecake that said, hey, preacher? How many members of y'all have talked about that? It was calling me. Here's what God wants to say right here. The Christian life, Brother Johnny, is about balance. It's not about going home and sticking our nose in the Bible and staying in it 24 hours a day. Because to be honest with you, Brother Joe, that would be wrong. That would mean you wouldn't have time to pray. That would mean you wouldn't have time to rest. That would mean you wouldn't have time to be a witness to somebody. That would mean you wouldn't have time, Brother Rick, to work, or that you could help missionaries and help the church. How many's with me right there? In other words, it's not all honey. There needs to be a balance in the Christian life. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Our problem, Brother Houston's not too much, honey. There ain't nobody vomiting because they're too sweet in the Word of God. Help me right there. I said, nobody. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. That's not our problem. Our problem is we're coming short. And every generation that goes by, that comes short, more and more sin comes into the land. More and more things that used to be appalling become acceptable in the society that we live in. I've done my best this morning. I believe there's some distinct advantages to loving the Word of God, don't you? Some distinct advantages to loving the Word of God. What is it that you love this morning? Who is it that you love this morning? I was thinking this morning, and I can't get anybody else to say amen. Miss Eve might not say it out loud, but she'd say it under her breath maybe. She might surprise me. She might stand up and shout right here, amen. But I can tell you this. What is it, Miss Eve? 35 years? 35 years last September? We're working on 36, ain't we? If you don't straighten up, we ain't going to make it. But I can tell you this. This is what I thought about. Brother Steve, do you ever get sideways with Miss Cindy? You're lying, Brother Steve. How come her head's doing this and yours is doing... Something ain't right there. But I can look back at my life, and every time I've gotten out of sorts with my wife, Brother Eddie, I wasn't loving the Bible the way I was supposed to. I had let something come between me and that precious book. Justin, don't let anything come between you and that precious book. Right now, everything's wonderful and everything's beautiful, and it'll stay that way. As long as the Lord, He remains the hub, and everything else revolves around Him. I'm just glad you come this morning. To think about reading the Bible. 4 times all the way through with the tip of your tongue. Many have never read the Bible through once, and they got good eyes. May God help us. How many like to see God turn our church upside down? Brother John, I'm being serious. You called it simple things, basic things. It's hard for me to stay in my seat this morning. Man, I just wanted to shout. I'm justified by faith. I've been born again. I whispered and told Miss Eve I might preach on it tonight, Brother John. But God's been stirring in my heart all week on these words. Abraham believed God. That's it. Abraham believed God. I don't know if I'll preach on it tonight or if we'll be back in Psalm 1. I don't know what, but I do know this. Wherever He leads, I want to follow Him. Let's love the Bible. It'll cause us to love each other. It'll cause us to love God. It'll cause us to love sinners. It'll cause us to love our children. It'll cause us, listen to me, carefully right here, folks. Don't get lost on me. It'll cause us to love our country. There is a lot of, get the English right. There are a lot of things wrong in our country, but I love America. I look at those veterans and I say, thank God for America. I look at that flag. I missed it while it was down. It was down for several months because the rope broke and we didn't have a way to, but I missed that flag. I love that flag. I catch you stomping that flag, and there might be something besides the flag stomped before it's over with. You say, preacher, what if you're not big enough? I'll get me some help. We got no business stomping that flag. We ought to be saluting that flag. Thank God for America. Thank God for Jesus. Let's pray, Father. Thank you this morning. were stirring our hearts. God, I pray you'd stir us up towards the things of God. The psalmist here, oh, how love I thy law. Lord, thank you for these advantages of loving the Word of God, loving the law of God, helping us to make right choices, prosper in our relationships, share the good news, to live in Canaan land. Oh, God, help us. I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd speak to the heart of that one that's unsaved. Speak to the heart of that one, God, that's grown cold and indifferent. I pray, oh God, draw us nearer, 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 blessed Lord. Help us not to walk afar off. Keep us near the cross. Keep us near the Bible. Keep us near the church. Keep us near our spouse, our children, our grandchildren. Keep us near these children, Lord, in the ministry, the van ministry. Keep us near them, Lord. Help us.